Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How precious is this gospel declaration! How suitable it is for every condition of a sinner. Is there a self-righteous sinner trying to make himself or herself better, trying to save themselves, trying to make yourself better in order you might go to heaven? Well, if that is what is uppermost in your mind, you need to lay to heart that Christ came to save sinners. Is there a self-condemned sinner here today, troubled about the wrath of God, concerned about a lost eternity? How thankful you should be that Christ came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That is why he came. Are you concerned about whether the gospel is able to save a sinner as great as you are? Or do you think that the gospel, as glorious as it sounds, is too good to be true? Then you need to lay to heart that this is a faithful saying. You may count on it. You may rest your soul upon it, because it is faithful, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Or do you feel excluded from salvation? Do you question whether you have a right to come and embrace the gospel and embrace Christ for salvation? Well, then you need to lay to heart that this saying is worthy of all acceptation. Everyone should embrace it. You should accept it, and accept it now, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Lord Jesus came to save the worst of sinners, and he saved even Saul of Tarsus, who calls himself the chief of sinners, and he declares himself to be an example, a pattern of those who would come after him, who would believe after he did, and show the long-suffering of Christ, that if Christ can save Paul, the chief of sinners, then he can save even you and me. How thankful we should be for this gospel truth, the good news of salvation, which is this: this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the Lord helping us this Sabbath morning, we want to consider first the saying itself. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Then the faithfulness of the saying in the second place. This is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and it is proven true. The evidence of it is that it saved even Paul, who he calls himself the chief of sinners. And thirdly, the worthiness of the saying, that it is worthy of all acceptation, worthy of all acceptance. Do you feel that this saying is worthy of your acceptance? Or do you have other things that are more important in your heart and life? Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy. It is worth it, friend. It is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So we begin with the saying itself. And this saying, this statement, this declaration contains the essence of the gospel. You ask, well, what really is the gospel? Well, it's this: Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what the gospel is. This is what the good news is. Here is the sum and substance of the gospel. It gets right to the heart of it. Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world. He humbled himself coming into this world. And why he came was to save sinners. That's why he came. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So here is the gospel. Christ, Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. Now, is this good news to you? It is good news in itself. But is it good news in your estimation, in your consciousness? Does it ring the bells of happiness and blessedness in your own ears, as it were? The good news of the gospel, Christ came to save sinners. Or do you think you're not really a sinner that needs to be saved? Which is really what you think if this is not good news to you. In order to appreciate the wonder of the good news of the gospel, we need to recognize who the gospel is for. It is for sinners like you and me, which tells us that we are sinners indeed. We are sinners of the lost, ruined, fallen race of mankind. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to know the true state of our case in order to really appreciate the glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You say, who are the sinners? Well, they're all right here in the congregation. We're the sinners. We need to be saved. Because all have sinned, and there is none righteous, no, not one. We all sinned in Adam, and fell with him in his first transgression. When he sinned against God, he represented the whole human race, and the whole human race is now fallen, having sinned in Adam. We have inherited the corrupt nature. It was passed on to us. And from the very womb, we are sinners, sinful, having a sinful nature. As soon as we begin to speak, we utter sinful things. We express irritation, anger, sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And all need a Savior from sin, to be saved from what sin deserves. Christ came to save sinners. He did not come to call the righteous. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all need salvation. We all need this faithful saying. Now, what exactly is sin? You think that you need to recognize, I should say, that we are sinners. Well, what is it to sin? Well, sin is to transgress God's law. To transgress the law of God. The law of God. God is our creator. He is our lawgiver. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. We owe our existence to him. We owe our lives to him. We owe our affection to him. And when we go our own way, we are sinning against him. We are transgressing his law. Sin is, if you remember the catechism, any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. Now, we sin by omission and commission. You take the third commandment, for example. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And perhaps you're thinking to yourself, I've never taken God's name in vain. I've never uttered his name as a mere interjection, just when I have an accident and I become angry and I take his name in vain. I've never done that. Well, that would be a sin of commission. Committing a sin, but there's also the sin of omission, omitting duty and failing to give God the glory that is due to him, failing to give the obedience that is due to him, failing to give the reverence that is due to him. And when we worship God and, for example, our minds wander off upon what we did last week, we're not giving Him the reverence that is due to Him. And our lips may have be uttering His name, and His name may be upon our lips and our hearts far from Him. His praise may be in our lips and grace not in exercise in the heart. And that's to take His name in vain. It is omitting duty, and it's transgressing His law when we're not reaching the standard of His perfect, holy law. That is transgression. That is sin. That tells us that we're sinful, that we're sinners, that we need a Savior. And to use another commandment as an example to show that everyone is a sinner, the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." You say, "I've never killed anybody." You've never taken a murder weapon and slain another person. But have you ever had angry thoughts in your mind or heart, the emotion of anger? When someone has injured you and slandered you and become angry with that person, well, was there not excess in that anger? Or when you had no right to be angry, because there is such a thing as just anger, righteous indignation. But to be angry without a cause, the emotions of anger, ready to lash out at someone because they have injured you, that is to break the sixth commandment. That is the murder of the heart, as the Lord Jesus shows us in Matthew chapter 5. He that is angry with his brother without a cause, that is to break the sixth commandment. Thou shalt not kill. So the very emotions of our hearts prove us to be transgressors, sinners, sinners deserving the penalty of the law. Because we read that those who are not perfect are under the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Have you kept all the things in God's book? Have you obeyed all the commandments? When you woke up this morning and you turned your alarm clock off because you wanted to sleep for 5 more minutes, were you doing that to the glory of God? And when you come to church, are you giving all your attention to God's word? No, my friends, we are sinful. We are sinners. We deserve God's wrath and curse because the wages of sin is death. All works that are not perfect lead to condemnation. And those who are not holy will not enter into life. How we need a Savior. We need this faithful saying that is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says He is the chief of them, and yet the gospel saved Him. Even though He was a persecutor of the church, even though He was injurious, yet such was the faithfulness and the power of the gospel that it saved even Paul, the chief of sinners. Yes, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ, are you looking to Christ this Sabbath morning? Is Christ precious to you? Is the gospel precious to you? The gospel brings before us a Savior, Christ the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Are you gazing upon Him in your soul? Are you attracted to Him? Is He precious to you? Do you know Him? You may know about Him, but do you know Him? If you don't really know Him, you don't have eternal life. But we preach the gospel so that you may know Him, that you may come to Him, that you may be saved. And may the Holy Spirit open your eyes to see His glory, His worthiness, His excellency. And may you be saying in your heart, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he is the Anointed One. Christ means anointed. He is God's chosen one that he ordained to save sinners. We read in Isaiah 42, we often refer to it, "Behold my servant," God is speaking, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him." Yes, Jesus, the Son of God. He is the second person in the Trinity, God the Son. And God the Father chose him, elected him, ordained him to be the Savior of sinners. And he gave him his Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to Jesus, the Son of God, without measure, enabling him to do the work given him to do. Well, that's what Christ brings before us. He was chosen from the foundation of the world to be the Savior. All the promises that were made to the people of Israel were preparing them to expect the Savior. When Adam first sinned, the promise was given that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. A Savior would come, one from the race of mankind, that would defeat Satan and redeem his people. Jesus, the Son of God, and he was promised to Abraham. He would be, Jesus is the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. In the time of Isaiah the prophet, Jesus was promised, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And when the fullness of the time was come, at the appointed time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born of the woman, made under the law. He subjected himself to the law. Why? In order to redeem sinners from the law, from the curse of the law. Christ Jesus came. He came into the world. When we read that he came into the world, this implies his pre-existence. Yes, he is the Son of God, and he is the creator of the world. God's beloved Son in the bosom of the Father from eternity. He is from everlasting to everlasting God. We read in the book of Micah, chapter 5, where Jesus would be born. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." And who is this one who is going to be born in Bethlehem? "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." He didn't begin to exist when he was conceived and born. He is from everlasting. His goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Before the world was created, he existed. And he was not created. He is the self-existent God, Jehovah, the second person in the Trinity, Jesus, the Son of God. So he is the one who came into the world. He came from heaven to the world, assuming a human nature. The Son of God assumed a human nature into union with his divine person. And so he is both God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Yes, before he came, or when he was coming, we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5, "Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." God prepared a body for Jesus, his Son. And so in human nature, Jesus was born into this world. And he came into the world, which tells us about this change of environment. Change of environment. He came from heaven, the glories of the eternal habitation, from heaven into this world, this fallen world. Here is infinite humiliation. The Holy One coming into contact with the unclean, sinners around him. He came into this sinful environment, an atmosphere that was full of unholiness. And he is the ever-blessed one coming into this miserable world with pain and suffering all around. And he is the immortal one, the eternal one, who had come to suffer and die for sinners. He is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. And yet he came into this world despised and rejected of men. Here is a sinful world, a world of sorrow and suffering. And sinners may be in love with the world, with all the vanity of the world. But take a step back, friend, and see how sinful this world is. Stricken with the curse and misery and calamity abounding. It's an unhappy world. Suffering of children and elderly with disease, and the murder of the unborn, it is rampant. It's a world of ignorance and infidelity, and sinners taking their lives in suicide. Here is a sad fallen world. How thankful we should be that Christ came into the world. It was infinite humiliation for Jesus to descend into this world. But he came for sinners like you and me. He humbled himself. He became of no reputation. He was willing to take that step to descend infinitely into this fallen world. And yet, he delighted to do the Father's will. I delight to do thy will, O my God. It was God's will that he would come. He came to fulfill the purpose of the Father, and that to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we read in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 that before he came, his delights were with the sons of men. It's like he was looking forward to coming into this fallen world because he loved sinners. He wanted to come and save them. And so he came. And what good news that is to us. Is it good news to us today? This faithful saying that is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. When he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. The angels were delighted. They were full of joy when Jesus came. Well, what about us? We're the sinners. We're the ones who need a Savior. Are we so sleepy in church that it's not good news to us today? Oh, how shameful it is that we can hear the gospel again and again and have no reaction like the angels when they appeared to the shepherds. They were scared. And we read that the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here is good tidings, good news of great joy. Such is the good news that should make you dance with joy. Yes, because the gospel is glad tidings, and it brings before you what is good for you, what will save you from your sins, what will deliver you from a lost eternity. Here is the glad tidings of salvation. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Is he wonderful to you? Is he wonderful to me? Is the good news wonderful to us this Sabbath day? He came not to call the righteous. We were considering already that there is none righteous, but he did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. He came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Save from their sins. His name shall be called Jesus. What does Jesus mean? It means Savior. came to save his people from their sins. He came to save his people from their sins, and now he has come. He was going to come. Thou shalt call his name Jesus when he is born. That's what the angel said to Joseph. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save them. But now we read that he has come into the world to save sinners. He already came. And here is good news for us. Is it good news to you and me? Now, when the Lord Jesus came to save sinners, what was it exactly that he came to do in order to save sinners? What was it that he did that would save sinners? Was it the miracles that he performed? Did he perform miracles to save sinners? Well, the miracles certainly proved that he was the Savior. The miracles certainly illustrated his saving mission. But it was not the miracles that saved sinners. Was it the teaching of Christ when he taught the people on the Sermon on the Mount, when he instructed others on occasion of the miracles, was that which would save sinners? His teaching? No, not in itself. There was something specific that he came to do in order to save sinners. Before he rose again from the dead, after he was born, before his birth, after his birth and before his resurrection, there were two things that the Lord Jesus did in order to save sinners. Do you know what they are? They were obedience and suffering. First, Jesus obeyed the law to save sinners. And secondly, he suffered God's wrath and curse to save sinners. You and I are transgressors, sinners, disobedient to God's law. And yet God is holy and requires righteousness. You and I cannot be accepted with God without righteousness. But we have none, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where are we going to receive a righteousness? How can we obtain righteousness? Only through Christ. And that is what he came to do, to fulfill all righteousness, to obey the law that we have broken. And we read that the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake, for he will magnify the law and make it honorable. That's why Jesus came, to obey the law in the place of the lawbreaker. He is the lawgiver. He gave the law originally on Mount Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. But think of that, the humiliation of Christ, the lawgiver to become the law subject in order to provide a righteousness to lawbreakers. We're the lawbreakers. We're the sinners. We should have kept the law. We have broken it. We have no righteousness, no ability to keep the law. But we have not obeyed the law. We have not given God the glory due to him by keeping the law. But Jesus did. And he did it for sinners, in order to save sinners. That is the first thing he does, in order to save sinners, obedience to the law. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. Jesus always pleased the Father. He had no sin. He was perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, and he perfectly kept the law to satisfy the requirements of the law, to meet its demands. The law is saying to you and me today, pay me that thou owest. And we feel oppressed. How can I do it? I'm bankrupt. I have nothing. I have no righteousness. I can't satisfy the law. We need not fear. Jesus has obeyed the law. Coming into the world to save sinners, he worked out a righteousness, was obedient to all its commands. But the other thing that Jesus did in order to save sinners was he suffered God's wrath and curse. You and I have incurred the penalty of death. By our disobedience, we have brought the curse upon us. We have, as it were, awakened the wrath of God, ready to be unleashed and poured out upon us. If you're outside of Christ, if you're still unconverted, and if you die like that, the thread will be snapped and you will fall into hell. Yes, the wrath of God. You too suffer forever. That is the sober reality. But Jesus came to save sinners from the wrath of God, to redeem sinners from the curse. The curse is that solemn declaration that the sinner deserves death, and the curse is that whereby the sinner is set apart to destruction. Is that you today, set apart to destruction, just waiting for everything that's in the curse to come upon you? Jesus came to save sinners by suffering the wrath and curse of God, so that we read that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He submitted to the curse. The curse was set upon him. He exhausted the curse. He took everything that was in the curse when he suffered the agony of the cross. When he cried in anguish, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was crucified, he endured the physical sufferings of the cross, he was scourged, his precious blood flowed from his back, he was taunted and ridiculed, he suffered the assaults of the wicked one, but it was the sword of divine justice that came upon him and smote him till the justice of God was satisfied. Divine justice demanding the death of the sinner. And that is the only way we can escape, is by Jesus dying that death and so exhausting the curse, paying the price in full, giving to justice all that it required. The death that we deserve, Jesus gave to the justice of God. He gave his life, a ransom for many, and that to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He saves them. He saves them by dying for them. When he was on the cross, he would not save himself from suffering the full infliction of the wrath and curse of God. He would not save himself that he might save sinners like you and me. Now, is this not good news? Shouldn't it melt our hearts that Jesus was willing to pay such a price for the salvation of sinners like you and me? And is there not hope for us because of what he did? He came to save sinners. Paul says, I'm the chief of them. There's hope for you and me. Are you as bad as Paul was? We don't know. But Paul is saying that he was a pattern. And if Jesus could save him, the chief of sinners, he can save you and me today. And he does save sinners still. When he satisfied the justice of God and rose again from the dead the third day, he ascended into heaven after 40 days. And he is there at the right hand of God in heaven, again in the place where he had come from, now exalted in his human nature. His human body is in heaven at the right hand of God, exalted, a prince and a savior. Why is he exalted, a prince and a savior? To save sinners, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We're helpless sinners, but how thankful we should be that God has laid help upon one that is mighty, mighty to save, able to save us, able to save us now by his Spirit, sending his Spirit to work in the heart of a sinner to open the blind eyes, to draw the heart so that the sinner embraces Christ, closes with Christ for time and for eternity, delighting in Christ, finding all their salvation and all their desire in Him. Does that describe you today? If it doesn't, pray for that. That is why Jesus is exalted in heaven. He sends His word and heals them. He sends His servants to preach His word. And the word is accompanied by His Almighty Spirit to enable the sinner to embrace the gospel, that the gospel would become good news to the sinner, and that the sinner would joyfully embrace the gospel, embracing Christ, just as the Lord Jesus, we read, opened Lydia's heart. Jesus had already ascended into heaven at the right hand of God, but it was the Lord Jesus that opened Lydia's heart, that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. She responded to the gospel. She embraced the Savior. Yes, this is the power of Christ. He came to save sinners by obeying and suffering for them. And He has ascended now in heaven to save sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. And how powerful is this gospel? Multitudes have been saved already. Multitudes will yet be saved. But where do you stand between the past and the present? Are you going to be a sinner that Jesus came to save? This gospel is worthy of your acceptance, and it is worthy that you would accept it now. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Is the gospel good news to you? You say, yes, it is, but can I count on it? Can I lay the weight of my entire soul upon it? The answer is yes, you may, because it is faithful. It is true, and it never fails. And everyone who has committed himself or herself to it has been saved. Every one of them who has given up themselves entirely to Christ, trusted in Him, having nothing in themselves, but are, as it were, falling into the hands of Christ, this gospel has saved them. It is reliable. You may count on it. And that brings us to consider, in the second place, the faithfulness of this saying. This is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And why is it faithful? Because it is found in the Word of God. And we are to believe it to be true, not just because the minister says so, not just because we know that there was a historical figure named Paul and he was a missionary and he said it. No, it is part of the Word of God, this faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we may believe it to be true for the very reason that God has said it. But not only is it part of the Word of God, it is the heart of the Word of God. And this faithful saying is, as it were, at the core of the Scriptures. It comes to us that we may receive it. And everything that is revealed in the Word is leading to it. Everything that is not immediately telling us about Christ is preparing us for hearing of Christ. The Ten Commandments are to prepare us to see our need of Christ. Everything in the whole Word of God is leading to Christ. This is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And there are some things in the Bible that are obscure and they're difficult to understand. But how can it be clearer, this precious gospel? This is the clearest statement ever made that is so faithful. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it is found to be reliable by experience. It is true, and we know it's reliable because it's God's Word. But also, it has been proven true in the case of countless sinners. They heard the gospel, they believed in the gospel, they were saved. Well, it's true after all. It saves some sinners that are standing or sitting next to you in the pew. This is a reliable gospel. Why hasn't it saved you yet? Well, you need to accept it. We'll go on to consider that. But if there's any difficulty in it, it's in your own mind. The truth is, it's reliable. It will save you. If you turn your back on it, you're not going to be saved. But if you accept it, it will save you. It is reliable. And this is a faithful saying. It is just what it says. It is a saying that seems to have been uttered from one mouth to another. This is a faithful saying. This that everybody is talking about. What you've heard said before, that Jesus came to save sinners, Paul is saying, yes, it's a faithful saying. It has been verified in one case after another. That faithful saying. And Paul is saying, you know that saying that everybody says that Christ came to save sinners. It's true. Because look, it saved me. And I'm the ultimate pattern of a sinner saved by grace, Paul is saying. I'm the chief of them. And for this very cause, Christ saved me. I obtained mercy. That in me first, foremost, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. Jesus showed great forbearance in coming to save Saul of Tarsus. Paul was persecuting the church. He was arresting Christians, compelling them to blaspheme. Paul calls himself a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And what mercy he obtained from Christ. Christ was so forbearing and so long-suffering to Paul in that he saved the persecutor of Christians. Paul calls himself the chief of sinners for these reasons, amongst others, because he saw his sin in the light of God's law, such that his sin bulked out in his own sight, and it made the sins of others seem like nothing in comparison to his sins. And that's the way it is when we're really convinced of our sin. We won't be thinking about the sins of others. We'll be smiting on ourselves and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But Paul also gives us tangible evidence of the greatness of his sins. And he says that he is a pattern for those in the future that would believe in Jesus, that they might be assured that if they, like Paul, believe in Jesus, they, like Paul, would be saved by Jesus. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this saying is so faithful, that it is so reliable. And if you trust in Him, you will know it for yourself. You may count on it, friend. The gospel that saved Paul almost 2,000 years ago is the same gospel that you're hearing and that will save you. Accept this saying then. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Before we move on to this, the worthiness of it. Do you believe in Christ? We might truly say that if you're not believing in Jesus, you don't really believe the faithfulness of this saying. If you believe that it was reliable, you would trust in Him. Your failure to believe in Jesus is really equivalent to saying that God is a liar. He's not able to save me, or He doesn't want to save me. It's not worthy to be embraced. Maybe that's what you're saying. But it's a rejection of Christ, a rejection of the gospel. Oh, friend, lay to heart that this statement of the gospel, this gospel declaration, this faithful saying is faithful indeed, reliable, trust in him and recognize that it is worthy, worthy of all acceptation, worthy of all acceptation. So we come in the third place to consider the worthiness of this saying. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There are some things in life that are not worthy of our pursuit. There are some sayings that are not worthy of being uttered. You may ask a friend, "What did you just say?" And you say, "Well, it wasn't worth. It's not worth repeating." But here is a statement that is worth repeating. It is worth repeating when you go outside the church this afternoon, when you go home and sit on the sofa this afternoon before the evening service. This statement is worth repeating. This statement is worth receiving. It is worthy of all acceptation. To accept it, to accept it, to trust in it. What is it to accept this saying? It is to accept Christ that this saying reveals. It is to trust in him for that salvation that he came to provide. This salvation that he gives to sinners, he came to save them. Are you trusting in him for that salvation, for that being saved? Concurring with this plan, this scheme of redemption, Christ coming from heaven to earth to obey the law, to suffer God's wrath. Do you concur with this plan of salvation? Are you well pleased with it? Do you accept it? Consenting to this salvation that you yourself may be saved, and accepting it joyfully, cordially embracing it, you are one of those sinners that he came to save. And that's how you know that you are saved, when you accept the saying, this faithful saying that is worthy of all acceptation. So worthy is it. Worthy because of what it is. It is Christ. And worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and blessing and power. It is worthy because it comes to you with a good intention. It is coming, revealing to you the way of salvation for your eternal good, that you would be saved from perishing. That's why it's coming to you. Not coming to condemn you, coming to save you. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth on him and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." But if you believe in him, you're saved. And it comes to you in the good will of God. Come then, accept the good news. It's good news. That's what it's called. This faithful saying that is worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So glorious is this gospel that it reveals the glory of God. Paul calls it the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Verse 11. It reveals the glory of God. The divine perfections are gloriously displayed in the gospel. The wisdom of God in contriving the plan of salvation. The goodness and love of God in sending his Son to die for sinners. The holiness and justice of God in Christ dying for sinners to fulfill the law and satisfy the claims of the justice of God. The glory of God is manifest in this glorious gospel of the blessed God. It is worthy. Worthy, therefore, that you would embrace it. That you would come to Jesus himself. That you would look away from any righteousness that you may think you have. That you would not think to yourself, "Well, I'm not as bad as others," and you try to gather up a few good works and you put them in a bundle and you put it on your back and you journey on your way to heaven. That will not work. Lay aside that bundle of good works. You're nothing but a sinner. I'm nothing but a sinner. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Lay it all aside. Jesus alone, the righteous Savior, the one who fulfilled the law and all righteousness and satisfied the justice of God, dying the death that sin deserves as the substitute of the sinner. He suffered the punishment that sinners deserve. Oh, come to Him. Lay the weight of your soul upon Him. Rest on Him. Accept Him. Don't turn Him away. Friend, will the gospel not melt your heart when you see how precious Christ is, what He was willing to do to save sinners? Oh, why will you not fall into His hands, His loving embrace, and be saved? What is so good about the pleasures of sin, which will only damn you and bring you to hell, that you're not willing to break them off and rest upon Jesus, His power, to enable you to live to His glory, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? What is so good about worldly entertainments that you're not willing to let some of them go and let all of them go in order to have Jesus, the pearl of great price? Precious, precious Jesus, fairer than the children of men, the chiefest among 10,000. You've heard that before. You say, I can't see that. But don't you see the evil of sin? Don't you see that holding on to sin will bring you into hell? How many car accidents do we need to see? How many deaths do we need to hear about? The person who died when they hit a light pole driving down the road didn't think they were going to die that day. And their loved ones weeping at their bedside as they breathe their last breath. They didn't think they were going to die either. We don't know. But you know what? God has given you a day to seek Him. He has given you a whole day in 7 to seek His face, to seek His salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Seek Him today, and you will not seek in vain. Call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save the worst of them. He came to save sinners who had put off salvation. And the long suffering of God will be glorified in your case when He saves even you, even though you've delayed to come to Him and you've not repented of your sins and year after year has gone by and you're still not saved. But come to Him now. Accept this faithful saying now, and you will be one of those sinners that He came to save. You will know that you are one of God's elect from eternity. You may know now. Only receive Him. Receive Him. You say, I'm blind and dark and I feel helpless and I feel stubborn and I feel enmity against God and I feel that the world has a hold on me and I just don't know what to do. Well, do you know that this salvation that Jesus came to give even includes the gift of the Holy Spirit? And the power to enable you to see the glory and loveliness of Christ and His suitability and sufficiency to save you. Go to Him for that. Go to Him to be made willing. He's the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And His people shall be willing in a day of His power. He's the high priest to make sinners willing. Willing to come to Him, willing to embrace Him, to accept this faithful saying that is worthy of all acceptation. And it is worthy of all acceptation. Whatever kind of sinner you are, a self-righteous sinner, or a worldly sinner in love with the pleasures of this life, a hardened sinner, year after year through rejection of Christ, can feel nothing, no impressions, not even the pricks of conscience, it seems. Whatever kind of sinner you are, this gospel is worthy of your acceptance. It is good news indeed. And Paul was not ashamed of it. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Friend, believing is not doing some great thing. Believing is stopping doing anything and resting upon the Savior to save you. That's all. Rest upon Christ for salvation. Look to Him for everything, because it's reliable, it's true. You say, how can I believe? Look at the experience of your loved ones. Look at the experience of Paul the Apostle. Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Who would not have life everlasting? Oh, believe in Jesus and you will have eternal life. Believe in Jesus and you will rejoice as Paul did, and you will glorify God forever. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. May He bless His word. Let us pray.